must touch these few days specifically, as we had before us a person, this which is called Satan, with all his might, in all the various names he has got, was all presented to us. We have also looked at the person of our Lord Jesus, and I would like just very briefly to show these two persons how Satan, of which we have read, that he was to devour the child as soon as it was born. We have referred to it naturally at the days of Herod, when of course he tried to kill all the young babies, including the Lord Jesus. But Satan was ever the opposer of our Lord. And on the other hand, I would like to just read a few verses showing how the Lord was always in control and what effect it has even on our lives. In John chapter 10, verse 17, we read these beautiful words. And this shows one of the glory of our Lord Jesus. Verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." What a beautiful relationship between the Father and the Son. The Father who gave him this commandment. Not that he had to go and lay down his life, but it was his plan. His plan of salvation for all of us. And the Lord, he could say, "I have power to lay down my life, that I may take it again. Therefore my Father loves me." What a relationship between the two. And Satan tried from the very first day to the very last day of his life to spoil that wonderful relationship. And so when you look at a few passages here, we first of all in Luke chapter 4, we find again and again that man tried to take his life. And we know who was behind it. Always Satan. And we find in Luke chapter 4, verse 28, this is the occasion when the Lord Jesus was in the synagogue of Nazareth. Or verse 27, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they may cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." We find here the multitude, the whole crowd gathered in that synagogue, rose up as one man against the Blessed One. Push him out of the city. Can you just picture it? Can you just see the whole crowd in full hatred? Push him all the way to the top of that mountain, in front of that cliff. The Lord allowed it up to that point, when he then turned around, not using any weapons, not using any power from heaven, any fire from heaven, what we heard. No. Passing through the midst of them, went away. Maybe just look at them. They could not touch him. And you can see Satan behind that whole crowd, stirring up the hearts of these people to kill him at this occasion. But they could not lay their hands on him. John chapter 7, verse 30. John 7 and verse 30 we read, or even verse 29. Here we find the Lord Jesus in the temple as he taught. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me, a testimony of his Father. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. We find him in supreme control. Again, you can just sense the hatred of the people. Just mentioning the name of the Father and the relationship to him, they were boiling, they were hated him. They tried, but they could not lay their hands on him. Why? His hour has not yet come. Chapter 8, verse 20. Just to give us an impression. Again there, he testifies of being the eternal Son of God. Verse 19. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and again, no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And in verse 59, or verse 58, verse also chapter 8, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Showing them clearly that he was the eternal Son of God. Then they took they up stones to cast him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Again, can you picture that scene? These people picking up the stones, ready to stone him, like they did later on, Stephanus. But here, he did not allow them. Not one stone was thrown at him. And he did not just run away. He went through their midst. What an impression he left behind. They realized they could not throw at him. They could not kill him. He was in control. Again, also of this situation. John chapter 10, verse 39. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. How many times this thing is recorded? How many times it shows that Satan tried to use every moment possibly to get rid of the Son of God? He stirred up whoever he could use, whether it was the Pharisees or whether it was the multitude around him. Again, they sought to take him, but they could not. He escaped out of their hands, not using a sword, as we have heard earlier this day. He did not defend himself with weapons, but he himself, he said, I have power to lay down my life. No man can take it from me. Let's also look at John 17, verse 1. We have read several times, his hour had not yet come. But here in chapter 17, we read these words, spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. It struck me again, when you read this only this verse, you see how he was in control of the situation. Now he knew his hour had come. But again, what a difference to the Antichrist and to all the picture we have seen, who tried to glorify themselves, to make a name for themselves. He asked the Father, glorify thy Son. He expected everything from the Father. What a relationship. What a humiliation that he bowed down and says, you have to glorify me so that I in turn may glorify thee. What a relationship. And Satan tried with every might to spoil it. And so, if you go on to chapter 18, when he was standing before Pilate, what did Pilate say to him? Verse 11. Well, that verse. Already in chapter 18, I was going to point out. Verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said to them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Here, again, what a picture. Two words, I am. And they, this whole multitude, this whole crowd of officers and soldiers and the priests which were there with their lantern, torches and weapons, the whole crowd had no power whatsoever. They could not take him. All he would say, I am, and they fell backwards back to the ground. Again we see here how the Lord was in control. How the Lord could not be touched if he wasn't to allow it. He had the power to lay down his life. And so he had to say to Pilate the same thing in chapter 19, verse 11, or verse 10. Then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? That's what he thought. And the Lord Jesus had to tell him, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. How often have we seen that? It was given to them. It was given. Even to Satan it was given. That far and not any further. And here too he said, you have absolutely no power at all. Unless it was given to thee from above, from the Father himself. And so we see that finally the hour comes. In Luke 22, verse 52. Luke 22:52. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captain of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. This is your hour. Now it was given to them. Now they were allowed. The hour of darkness. And therefore the Lord came to endure that hour of darkness, so that we who were in darkness may see the light. Doesn't that touch our hearts? And he has truly experienced the whole hatred, the whole power of Satan. And there it was allowed for a few hours. This was the hour of darkness. And you think about it. Why was it? Why did he lay down his life for us? For us, for you and me. And I wonder whether there's anyone left here today who is still without, who is still in the darkness, who is still not reconciled with this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has not yet accepted him as his own personal Savior. Can you imagine to experience that darkness not for an hour, but for all eternity, to be separated from God. There's the same doom as Satan has, being thrown in the lake of fire. Who knows? If there's anyone here, we beg you, take the offer from the Lord Jesus himself, who said, I lay down my life for you. And so that we see in these few scriptures which we have just read together, the Lord was in control. And don't you think, when we see this, and we relate this now to our lives, we have read about it, we have talked about it, but let's take it with us as we leave from this place. The Lord is in control. Like he was at that time, he will not allow Satan to go any further, to do any more damage within our circles as he would allow it. Satan knows he has little time. And he knows if he can break up anything, he will. Anything which is of God, he tries to disturb. But let's not fear him, but trust. We have read about the patience and the faith. It is a matter of being able to wait upon the Lord, who is mighty to save. Like he did not only lay down his life, he took it again. And so, like we have read in John chapter 17, when you read on from there, we read that he has the power to give eternal life. He is the one who is in control of life. He can give you this eternal life, and he alone will preserve it. Again, in chapter 10, we find that no man can pluck them out of my hands. Doesn't that give us confidence that we can look up to him and lay all our problems at his feet and wait upon him? Not always trying to do it in our own ways, to really get to a point of where we can't go any further, but let us already from the beginning put all things in prayer before him and trust him the way he has shown throughout his life, that he was always in control of every situation, of every movement amongst the people, against every hatred. Nothing could take him by surprise. But as he experienced it, we will experience the hatred around us. We will experience the enmity of Satan. But let's not be discouraged. He is greater than Satan. And he, when we read in Hebrews 2, the very moment when Satan thought finally he had his goal, he had reached his end, we find this wonderful verse that says that in Hebrews 2, that through death, in verse 14, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Yes, indeed, he was the victor. And so, if you look at that, doesn't that give us courage? Doesn't that give us an encouragement to go on and leave things in the Lord's hands, trust him, showing patience, and then he will act. It will be wonderful. And it will always be to our blessing. Mm-hmm.